ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
There's a pretty common trope that you hear about older people and housing, and it usually starts with a gripe along the lines of, baby boomers have it so good, they bought a house when they were cheap and now they're all millionaires. But it's not that simple. Over the last decade or so, there has been a 73% increase in older people renting, many of whom who are re-entering the rental market after an unexpected change like divorce or death or job loss. If you're over 50, new research shows that unaffordable and poor quality housing is getting in the way of living a dignified second act. And whether you make payments to the bank or a landlord, it doesn't really matter. Houses that are affordable and in good condition are in the minority, no matter whether you rent or own. Lynette Stevens is living this right now. Lynn, earlier this year, you had to leave your long-term rental. Can you tell me the story?
Yes, I did. I moved into the rental in 2012 and I remained there till the middle of this year where I found a placement in community housing thanks for the wonderful work of an organisation by the name of HAG. And I had to rent in 2012 because my marriage broke down and I had to get out of the marital home. The divorce was very messy and expensive, and therefore I come away with very little. And I worked, and I worked for myself, and I continued to do that till 2023. And I had a decline in my health. I'm currently waiting for two knee replacements. And I've been waiting since 2018 for that to take place. But my knees didn't allow me to continue to work. And then I started to experience difficulty in meeting my monthly rental payments. And it continued till I started falling behind in rent, and I lived every day thinking that I was going to end up getting an eviction notice or being taken to court to extract the rental arrears out of me.
That sounds...
But I live in a fantastic community now, so it's wonderful.
So you've managed to move into something from Housing for the Aged Action Group, HAG. You mentioned them before. We'll hear from them in a minute, actually. But, Lynn, your story really illustrates the sort of work that has been shone a light on with this new research from Swinburne University. We've actually got the lead author from that study here as well. Perrette Viroa is the lead author. Perrette, tell me about this research that you've just published.
Thanks for having me. So our research, we were looking at midlife and older Australians. So we are talking about people who are age 50 years and older. And we were looking how housing affordability and housing conditions combine to understand who is most affected by precarity. And we call this double precarity: homes that cost too much or are in poor condition or both.
So double precarity, this idea of both being unaffordable and then also not a very good condition, so you're potentially paying more money for it or it's a worse place to live. It's not just an issue that's affecting renters, Perrette.
No, we actually looked to 10 years that we consider more precarious. So we looked at people in private renter sector and owners with a mortgage.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking with Dr. Perette Viroa, lead author of a new research from Swinburne University, and Lynette Stevens, who's living in community housing now, which is great, after a long-term tenancy that became more and more precarious for her as she was struggling to make her rental payments. One person says, I'm a 50-something male, have been living in what is essentially an illegal rooming house since the pandemic. Everyone I've seen come and go has some kind of mental health issue, not sustainable for anyone. Another says, I own half a house with my ex. He pays high rent while I live in the home. We can't afford to renovate a rundown and shabby home. If we sell it, it won't translate to two separate homes. I'm really stuck. Perette, where we live can really impact our health. What does your data show?
Yeah, our findings showed that health impacts can be really stark. In these homes that we were talking about, unaffordable, poor condition housing, and especially among private renters, more than half people reported poor physical health, and nearly half reported poor mental health. And that was way lower compared to people who lived in affordable, good condition homes.
Perette, there's a gendered nature to this problem.
Yes, that was another key finding that we saw, that women were more likely than men to live in unaffordable, poor condition housing. They also reported more housing problems. So these were things such as, you know, cracks or structural issues, mold, plumbing issues. And we also found that women reported worse well-being outcomes when we are thinking about, again, mental and physical health, but also social connections or social ties and financial circumstances as well.
Well, we did hear Lynn mention HAG before, Housing for the Aged Action Group. We've got the Executive Officer, Fiona York, with us too. Fiona, welcome to Life Matters.
Good morning.
What's unique about the housing needs of this older cohort?
We've been really concerned about housing precarity for older people for a long time. The reason that we're concerned about it is because it's really difficult for people to age well and age with dignity if they're living in poor quality homes that cost too much. And so as this research shows, and as Lynn's story illustrates, there are a lot of older people who are really struggling to be able to meet the basic needs that they have. So having a roof over their head, but also with the poor condition homes, things like mould is affecting their health. People can't get in and out of their homes up and down steps, which is obviously an issue when you have mobility that impacts you. And it can be something that is as simple as having an accident that catches up with you later in life, or losing your job, or having a divorce that puts you in this position. And none of those things should end up with people homeless. But that's the reality of our housing system at the moment.
In the research, there's a graph that really stood out to me talking about people who had mortgages. 49% of people aged 50 to 64 had $300,000 or more still owing, which feels like a lot for that age of your life.
Yeah, it's a scary graph, isn't it? I think one of the things that we're calling for as a result of this report and other reports that we've done looking at people that are in precarious housing in the mortgage, with a mortgaged home, is for the government to extend the assistance for them. So there's currently a program that assists people over 65 that are in mortgage stress, but we'd like that to be dropped to 55, because we recognise that there are a lot of people, as you say, that have quite a lot of money to pay off on their mortgages. And because of that low-quality housing as well, it means they're unable to retrofit their homes. They're unable to get insulation and take advantage of some of the things like, you know, solar panels and those rebates and things, which make thermal comfort and make, you know, be able to age well. We also know that older people are more affected by heat waves. And so it's really, really important to have a quality home as well as an affordable home as you age.
Lynn, the house that you were living in, that really was your home for 10 years, the condition of it was part of what fed into the difficulties you were having.
Yes. As my mobility deteriorated, there were stairs at the front of the property, and I would have to basically crawl up the stairs steps because there was no handles or railing either side. There were steps inside the house, which made it difficult once again. While I was working, I used to do a lot of the repairs myself, nothing major, but, if something broke, I would just go down to Bunnings and get what I need and fix it. The owner of the property, I dealt with him directly, and he had short arms and long pockets when it come to, investing in his property. And there's lock on the security door, failed to exist as time went by, but he wasn't willing to, put any money towards the investment property. I did try many years ago to ask him about working out some sort of way we could jointly put air conditioning into the property, but he wasn't forthcoming in wanting to do that, which would have made it comfortable for me to live. And of course, as cost of living and household utility bills increased in the winter, it was because I live in Melbourne, could get quite cold, and I would sparingly use the heater because it was very expensive to run, which affected I have trouble dealing with the cold, so it would affect my mobility and quality of life.
It sounds
I just couldn't get warm.
Lynn, I'm so sorry, and I can just imagine how that would feel if your joints were sore. Fiona, what do you feel when you hear Lynn's story?
Yeah, I think Lynn's story, unfortunately, is all too common, and it's really great for us to be able to hear from the people that the research actually is affecting. So lots of people that are making decisions are looking at lots of numbers, and I think what's really important to remember when we're looking at these percentages and these numbers in this housing debate and this housing crisis is that each one of those numbers has a human face and is a life. And Lynn is an example of this, I think. It's a really horrible story, but it's all too common in the private rental market where people are unable to live a good life because of the poor quality housing and the stress of paying the rent and then paying the mortgages too.
So how do we turn this around?
Well, we'd like to see government actually make a target to address older people's housing. So we'd like to see an increase in public and community housing so that it's at least 10% of all of the housing stock. But we also like to see some targeted assistance for older people because we think they are a bit of a hidden cohort. People like Lynn don't necessarily come knocking on the door asking for assistance. They do manage, as you can probably tell, she's quite happy to go down to Bunnings and sort herself out and isn't asking for help. So there's a lot of people out there that have made do for many, many years, and we recognise that they're hidden and that they need special assistance. So we'd like to see a allocation for low-income households for people that are over 55 via the Housing Australia Future Fund and via the state governments as well. And there's a range of other things that we'd like to see around improving the quality of the existing housing stock as well as new builds. So Perrette's research demonstrates that housing that was built pre-1990 is particularly, affected by this. And so we need to have retrofitting a program for existing housing stock. And one of the things that is, if people are going to be getting tax incentives for providing housing, then they should also be spending money to make that housing of good quality, because it is people's lives that we're talking about.
How do people get in touch if they want to see what HAG can do for them, Fiona?
So unfortunately, we're only in Victoria if you're an older person that requires assistance, but we can probably put you in touch with a local service, although we are unique, I should say, in Australia. You're most welcome to come to have a look at our website, which is oldertenants.org.au, or you can give us a call if you're preferring to do that, and the phone number for that is 1300 765 178.
Lynette, Fiona, Perrette, thank you all so much for joining me. Lynette Stevens is living in community housing now after leaving a long-term tenancy. Fiona York's the Executive Officer for the Housing for the Aged Action Group. Their website's oldertenants.org.au. And Dr. Perrette Varoja, the lead author from a new research paper from Swinburne University that we've been discussing today.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.